listening to Severance by Andy Evans. Chapter 9. As promised, Daniel Fitzalan had agreed to escort Isabel Chang home to ensure her safe transport. This time, however, he was accompanied not only by Isabel, but also by his family, Martha and Jacob. They'd hired a buggy from the town and treated Isabel to the luxury of a ride home, something she was reluctant to accept. Walking was good enough for her, although she could get used to the luxury in time. But her journey was tinged with sadness as she looked across the main street and saw that Maldwin's store was shut up and silent. The nagging doubt in her mind would not go away. Something had happened to him, something bad. As they passed through the walls of the town and out across the dust plains towards Izzy's homestead, she wondered if she should share her inner thoughts about Maldwin after all. The Fitzalans seemed a decent family. They were upright and honest folks. But discretion got the better of her. She figured what they don't know can't hurt them. If they knew nothing, nothing could be dragged from them when the storm riders take hold of them. It was a thought she didn't want to entertain, but one she considered nonetheless. About halfway home, Isabel noticed something unusual in the distance. A dust cloud. It was the dust being stirred up by a small number of riders coming towards them at speed. They were coming from the direction of the farm, but she had no way of knowing if they'd actually been there or not. "Grandfather!" she exclaimed in fear. "You think they've been at your farm?" asked Daniel. "There's little else out this way. Where else could they have been?" she replied. Daniel and Martha looked at the lines of horror etched into Isabel's face. Her eyes were like windows to her soul, and her soul was deeply fearful. Each occupant of the buggy eyed each other with alarm as they drew nearer and nearer. Would they stop this buggy? Had they been up to no good at the farm? The sounding of hooves and the rising dust grew ever closer. And then it happened. Isabel screamed. She looked beyond the riders and saw a plume of smoke rising in the distance. She just knew it had to be the farm. She let out an exclamation in Chinese, and the panic in her tone alerted Martha to the smoke. Daniel kept a keen eye on the approaching riders. They'd spotted the buggy and changed their course, oh so slightly, to intercept the transport. They approached with guns drawn and pointed clearly at Isabel and the family. They rode across to the buggy and drew it to a halt, surrounding them, intimidating them. The lead rider faced Daniel and said, "Whereabouts you think you're going with that contraption?" "We're escorting our friend, this young lady, home."
"Where's home, sweet cheeks?"
"I live on a farm just over the way."
"No, you don't."
"I do, I swear."
"Ain't nobody lives at that farm no more, 'cause it ain't still standing. Seems it wasn't fireproofed none. Jed here dropped his cigar butt, and the whole place went up like a tinderbox. Woof!"
The riders all laughed mockingly at this joke.
"No," cried Izzy.
Daniel forgot about the need to maintain his sense of subservience.
"What about the old man, her guardian? He's her grandfather." "Ain't nobody at home. Certainly ain't nobody alive in that inferno." "Didn't see no old man, but the fire spread real fast. Wasn't going to go looking now, was I?"
No more words issued forth from Isabel. Instead, she collapsed where she sat and sobbed. Martha placed a comforting arm around her. Daniel looked up. "Can we go up there and see if we can find him?"
"Please yourselves, but pretty soon the whole place is just going to be ashes spreading among the dust here anyhow. But there's one thing worrying me. You seem like the rebellious type. Might just end up itching for a fight. See that place in smoking embers, and you might just change your mind. Come looking for us with bloodlust in them their eyes."
"I'm not the troublesome sort. I just want to help Isabel."
"You say that now, but it's the quiet ones we has to watch. They can end up crazier than a reaver on acid."
"I promise you, we just need to see if her grandfather survived."
"Then you won't mind if we take a little insurance then, will you?" snarled the storm rider. "Boys, take the kid and the wife. Leave the girl with him. They can check out the farm for themselves. Don't need them to."
"No," cried Daniel and Martha in unison. "You can take me, but leave my son with my husband. I beg you," Martha cried.
Oh, no, this cud's got greater currency than you. See, you'll do anything we tell you to do if you know we got your kid. And Daddy Dearest over there, he won't go causing any trouble, knowing he could be minus one family before sundown, certainly if he can't control his temper. If you harm either one of them, I swear you'll regret it. See, I just knew he was a headstrong fool full of spunk. I can always tell me a hothead when I need to. With that, the Storm Riders grabbed the woman and child and began to make their way as their leader smirked at Daniel. Oh dear, Daddy, are we a little sad now? We'll just play the game. Then you get 'em back safe and sound, when we say so. With that, he turned his horse and raced off at speed towards the town.
I'm so sorry, Daniel. It's all my fault. You should go after them. I can walk to the farm from here.
I promised I'd take you home. I just have to hope that they're true to their promise and release them unharmed when we return. Now let's hurry to see if there's any sign of your grandfather. Daniel grabbed the reins and ordered the horse and buggy onwards hastily towards the black cloud in the distance. As they proceeded, it became clear that the farm was gone. All that remained were the charred timber supports of the house. The blackened shell stood out against the arid landscape, a somber silhouette. As they got within a few hundred yards, Isabel jumped from the buggy and ran towards the husk, screaming, "Grandpa!" But there was no response. She ran towards the smoking debris, oblivious to the material cost, with only one thought in her mind. Had Cassius, her grandfather, somehow survived this devastation? She fell to the ground on her knees, sobbing uncontrollably. There was no one, nobody there to respond to her cry. No one except Daniel, who tethered the horse and walked silently towards her. He knelt down and gently placed his arm over her shoulders. "Isabel, he's not here. Maybe he went out."
"My grandfather never left the farm. There's no way he left. He must have been in there. Oh, God!"
"Izzy, if he was in there, you really wouldn't want to find him. You go sit in the buggy and I'll look round, see what I can make out in the debris. It's still pretty hot up there, and by the looks of some of these supports, they could come crashing down any minute. We don't want to lose you to falling timbers." Isabel, shocked and stunned, walked back to the buggy without questioning Daniel. She really didn't know what she was supposed to do in these circumstances. After all, this was Severance. It never has these circumstances. Ever. This is nothing more than murder, plain and simple. And yet she gave no thought to her own future at this stage. Here, her life and her home lay in ruins. But she could only think of Cassius. Was he dead? Even Maldwin had passed from her thoughts now. This hurt. This hurt so much. Daniel walked round the perimeter of what used to be the house. He picked up a piece of timber that wasn't too hot to allow him to poke and prod at the smoking remains in case he saw something that warranted further investigation. And then he saw something in the ashes. Something human. Well, something formerly human. A hand. Charred and burned, but a hand, projecting out from under a collapsed pile of rubbish. It was too hot to get close to or to investigate further, but he knew this had to have been Cassius. He would have to tell Isabel. But at least for the moment, he could return to town. Isabel would have to come with him, but he could rescue his own family, even if he could do nothing more for Isabel at this point. He walked slowly back to the buggy with a sickness in his gut as he knew he had to tell her what he'd found. "Isabel, I... don't say it. You know what I have to say." "Yes, but please don't say it." "I can't do anything more here today. It's still too dangerous to try to get in there. I promise I will come back tomorrow to help you recover him and to arrange a proper burial. But right now, Martha and Jacob could be in danger. I have to go back and get them. You do understand, don't you?"
"Can I come back into town with you? I can't stay here."
"Please."
"Thank you. I don't know what I'm going to do, but we must find your family and make sure there's no more loss today. Not on my account. No more. I can't stand it.
With that, Daniel untied the horse and drove the buggy back towards the town. The journey was swift but silent. Both knew what was occupying the other's thoughts, but neither felt like talking. The walls of the town approached as the sun started to make its way towards the horizon. They could make out the shape of a pair of storm riders at the gate, sitting either side of the entrance, silent, like statues. Something was wrong. These men were never silent. These men always bragged and yelled. They didn't have it in them to remain silent. They operated at full volume, even when going to the bathroom. They were never afraid to let people know who they were or where they were. So why were they silent now? As they got closer, Daniel saw why. The men at the gate were not on any form of sentry duty. The men at the gate were no more. They sat silent because they'd been killed. Each was wearing a blood-soaked shirt, each with a look of fear in their now dead eyes, each with their throats slit. Death had clearly been swift and silent, but neither seemed to know of the other's demise. Who could have done this? Someone swift and deadly, someone able to move invisibly through the town, a trained killer.
"They're dead?" asked Isabel.
"I don't even need to feel for a pulse to know that," replied Daniel.
"Who could have done this?"
"Probably the same person killed the other storm riders before the hangings."
"Maldwyn!" exclaimed Isabel.
"Who? Your friend?"
"Maldwyn killed two of them before. I didn't want to say. They were attacking me. He killed them to protect me. I think that's why he disappeared."
"Maybe he killed the others too, and these two. When Judge finds out they're dead, he's going to go crazy. There'll be more reprisal killings. I have to find Martha and Jacob." They entered the town as swiftly as possible, without wanting to alert the other storm riders that anything was wrong. Once they discovered the sentries were dead, they would assume he was responsible, and who knows what they would do to his family then. But as they rode further into the town, it was like riding into Hades itself, as if a biblical plague had swept through the main street. Everywhere they looked were bodies. Dead storm riders littered the street with blood pouring out into the sand. It was an ugly, ugly sight, and the eerie silence underscored the devastation. As the pair slowed up and moved onwards, had an army risen up and exacted its revenge upon the storm riders in their absence? And where were the citizens? The only bodies seemed to be of the riders. And then they saw it. The body of Judge, not lying in a pool of blood like his compadres, but tied at his hands and feet and hoisted up on the gallows he'd chosen to use himself just days earlier. His eyes bulged in his blue face. His tongue protruded as he hung there, limp and lifeless. But still, there was no sign of the people of Severance. Where had they gone? Who was responsible for slaughter on this scale? You have been listening to Severance by Andy Evans, Chapter 9, Death Walks the Streets, read by Andy Evans. The music featured in this broadcast has been provided free of charge under a Creative Commons license by Magnatunes. The tracks featured are by Kira Shaman from her album Mistral and Claire Fitch from the album Ambient Cellist. For further details, visit magnatunes.com. Chapter 10 of Severance is coming soon. In it, we reach the conclusion of our story. Join us again here at Severance.